Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of Theories on the News. My name is Keith. We got some things to talk about. We have debate number two in the books. We'll give you my takes of what I was able to see and what I was able to hear on that stage. Plus, we're going to talk about another nutty anti-vax situation. And why is Senator Menendez hiding his money like he was living in the 1930s? We'll be back. Stand by.
Here is another fall event just for you. You can head over to Island Park here in Elkhart for the Trunk or Treat. And this event will take place on Saturday, October 21st from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Children under 12 and under are free. Take care. Here is another fun event for you to do. You can head over to the Trunk or Treat, and that is happening on Saturday, October 28th at the Cruz Family Funeral Home in Osceola, Indiana. And that is located at 1109 Lincoln Way West. And that event will take place from 12 to 2 p.m. Hope you get a chance to check out what Osceola, Indiana has to offer. Take care and enjoy the rest of your day.
And welcome back to another episode of Thews on the News. Hope you got a chance to watch the debate last night on one of the cable channels, or you took advantage of watching the debate through the links that I shared. I look forward to hearing the comments from David Pakman and other pro-Democrat, pro-progressives on their podcast, just to get their spin on basically a crazy, unhinged debate. But before we go ahead and talk about a crazy and unhinged debate night in America over in California, let's talk about the shot. Obviously, we have a new version of the COVID shot booster that has been circulated across the United States. And now there's a conspiracy theory, and it could go one of two ways, indicating either mind control of some sort, population control, or indicating death. And it's going around social media indicating something of nanotechnology called graphic oxide, otherwise oxidized pencil lead, if you will, graphite, supposedly is in the COVID shot, which fact checkers have proven not true. It's been used in testing, according to the article I read and shared up on our page, but it was never put into the actual shots. And they said even if it was in the shots, it couldn't be used for any kind of mind control, which is an argument that's circulating on social media. Another argument is that on the basis is next week there is another national emergency alert system test. They are doing these once a year to check the system in the event of a nuclear war or alien invasion or mass 9/11 situation. They want to make sure that the communication points for the Federal Emergency Management Agency, Homeland Security, are in good working order. And so at 2:20 p.m. on your telephones, followed by TV and radio, not National Weather Service radio, there will be this one-minute EAS test. Now we're used to those things. We know the sounds of the buzzes, and we know the sound of the tone. And also on your phone, you'll get a presidential emergency alert message. It's nothing to worry about. But supposedly these nutcases are out there saying it's going to trigger people to be killed, or it's going to trigger people to be under the control of the United States government. Population control, mind control, make them into robots, if you will. That's not in the argument, but, you know, it's along that crazy line. You know, it's farcical. It's not true. But what gets me, and it actually, to be honest to God, sorry to say it like this, it pissed the living fool out of me, was I found out about this conspiracy theory this last Sunday when our roommate, who goes to a Pentecostal church, came home and was almost in tears because he thought that my adoptive parents, who have taken the latest booster, would be dead on October the 4th, or if that didn't work, October the 11th, from whatever was in the COVID shot that they thought was going to blow up and kill people as connected with the emergency alert system test. What a nutty, untrue line of crap that's going around, and it pisses me off that even a church pastor would disseminate anti-vaccination conspiracy theories to their congregation members. And that's how I found out about this, and I shared it with all of you to make sure you're exposed to what the nutcases are saying out there. Because we've talked about it on this podcast about Robert Kennedy Jr., presidential candidate, anti-vaccination king, friend of the Republicans, in my opinion, and others, who, and so on and so forth. You know, it's just nutty. So, anyway, be aware, it's not going to happen like that. The EAS test will go off without a hitch. No one's going to get blown up. No one's going to be made under the control of the government, etc., etc., etc. But these anti-vaxxers need to be just, their arguments need to be shut up. I'll just say that. All right, let's talk about other arguments. Let's talk about the debate. We had debate number two on Fox Business, which was simulcast on regular Fox News Channel. And so they argued about a whole bunch of different things. And the go/go-home bunch of Tim Scott and Governor Burgum from the Midwest actually stepped up to the plate tonight and talked some more. The ones that were the most talkers in the last debate, debate number one in Milwaukee, they weren't talking so much like Mike Pence. What was up with Mike Pence, man? He looked pale as a ghost. Looked like he was sick. I mean, you're trying to get elected. You don't want to be looking sick on stage. I hate to say it, Mike Pence, he did not look well one bit at all. Very pale. But Mike Pence didn't talk much. Vivek was argued down and was arguing bad. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. The lack of control of that debate. But anyway, so Vivek, Mike Pence, and I believe there was one other that didn't get much of a time to answer questions, and that was Chris Christie. Although I do have to say, I like the fact that he did bother to say that they needed to kick off Donald Trump from the presidential debate. You know, kick him off the island is what they used, like Survivor. And I think it was a slap in the face for all those candidates up there to hear from Fox that ultimately they're not going to win the candidacy choice because of how big of a lead Donald Trump has. Shame on Dana Perino for even bringing that up. because I will agree with Chris Christie, all of the people had the respect to him and had the ability to be there on the stage and attempting to get their points argued and cross-argued and so on. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'll just say it openly. Shame on Fox. Shame on Fox Business and shame on Fox. They cannot manage a dang debate. It was a farce. The candidates were arguing over each other. Governor Burgum was one of the worst, as was Vivek. People talking to each other, they weren't having. And Fox wasn't even allowing the candidates to properly discuss an issue back and forth. It's like, answer the question. Nope, now we got to talk about a different topic. Whoop, nope, nope, you can't talk now. Or I'll give you only 15 seconds or a minute max, which obviously those clocks hold no time limit to a person's speech. I'm out walking the dog waiting for the truck to drive by. But anyway, it was just pandemonium, if you will, at times. And nobody could get a real good, sensible argument. You could speak your point, but you couldn't have the cross argument back. And whoever's hosting the next debate needs to correct those issues so you can have a more well-rounded debate. Now, my winners right now were Tim Scott and Nikki Haley. I think they did a real good job, and yeah, they went at it over the most piddling stuff, like the stuff inside, the decorations inside, or dressing, I should say, of the house. Come on, talk about issues, not worry about a house. I have to say that Florida Governor DeSantis, he presented himself better this time, but he still used the stupid George Soros argument, which had no bearings. He tried to compare how things were going to be. And I do appreciate Nikki Haley's argument that what is going on with DeSantis on day one would change on day two and so on. Now, the butt kisser of the night to Donald Trump was Vivek. He was the king butt kisser, practically worshiping Donald Trump again. And to be honest with you, that's not going to get you votes. It might for some people, but Vivek is history as far as I'm concerned. He's on the outs. And I think it's really starting to show that he had his time in the limelight, and it really is starting to show that he just was yesterday's news. So, we're not sure where and when the next presidential debate is. But when we do, we'll let you know. And we look forward to going over some of those issues with you and how things went. Now, let's talk about Senator Menendez. He was basically busted for taking a bribe from the Egyptians. We've been hearing that. But why in the heck would you stuff over $500,000 in your clothes pockets? There's a problem here. There's a big problem. And no matter what he is saying, it ain't gonna hold any water. And so he's in trouble, and rightfully so. If you're out there and you're getting a kickback from another country, you know, you deserve to be punished, and rightfully so. So we're gonna stay on top of what's going on with him, and we'll stay on top of the other stories as well. So give us your feedback. I want to hear from you on the debate, good, bad, anywhere in between, because you're part of this discussion, part of the podcast, and we want to share you out there, so that others can get a chance to give their feedback as well. Make your voices heard. Anyway, that's my take as best I could on those issues. Stay tuned for another episode when we get some stuff that's built as far as in the news. I'll be there to give you my spin. So take care, everybody.